Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Kindly make your smile available for your seatmate. Like the snow, how the snow welcome me today. All right, good morning. We welcome you to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. This is the church who always seeks to know God, love God, and serve God. The Lord is so pleased with your presence today, whether you are here or online. Just let us know if you are new here or a visitor, because you are extremely welcome. I am Reverend Hazel Bates, your clergy liturgist for today, and together with our worship leaders, Tom Doan and Suzanne Everett. All the good seers will continue as Pastor John will deliver the word today. I am sure we will be blessed. And we want to get connected to you. There are connection cards and prayer cards available at your bulletin. Please have time to read, sign up, and fill them up. And you can both put the cards into the offering plates during the offertory. And for our announcement, kids. I can't see any kid. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Okay, kids, today is your Christmas party. Wow. All right, so we want you to go downstairs and be part of the party, and we want you to have fun, so go now. And for the second announcement, we have, as our response to Wesley's means of grace and do some good, join our hands-on mission on December 21st, that will be Sunday, next Sunday, at 12:30 to 2:30 in the afternoon. Everyone is invited to carol our parishioners. So anyone who is willing to be part of this, please sign up on the board at the music room. On December 14th, that will be next Sunday, from 5 to 7 in the afternoon, we will witness our in-house artist, the young people, with their musical presentation entitled The Present is the Future, followed by a taco dinner and a visit with Santa. Tickets are still available on sale today. So this is the last day of Coats for Cass. You can bring your new clean or maybe gently used coats for adults and children. If today is the last day, it means we still have the whole day to bring them over, right? So in this small way, I know we can give warm feeling to the homeless folks in Detroit. And lastly, for our announcement, sticky buns are on sale today, will be on sale today during coffee hours. Please grab yours, because I'll grab mine to support Gleaners. And for our opening hymn, please stand as we sing our opening hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Advent prayer draws us toward peace. Peace within ourselves, peace in our relationships, and peace for a world longing for healing. Wesley taught that prayer is a means of grace, a sacred river in which God calms our anxious hearts and aligns our lives with God's purposes. As we light the second candle, we open ourselves to the peace Christ offers, peace deeper than understanding, peace strong enough to hold us, peace that flows even in uncertain times. In prayer, we breathe in God's presence and breathe out God's peace into a world that hungers for it. Please join me in prayer. God of peace, quiet our spirits and center our hearts in you. Teach us to pray with trust, to listen with openness, and to rest in your gentle presence. Let your peace take root in us and ripple outward to those around us. In the name of Christ, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. I'd just like to take a moment, since this is December 7th, to acknowledge all the men and women in World War II who gave their lives or worked in some way to keep our country free. The scripture reading this morning is from Luke 1, 68-79. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his child David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus, he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness in his presence all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tom, for reading the scriptures for us this morning. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and I'm one of the pastors here. It's so great to be with you this morning as we gather this morning. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to pray. Amen. Well, so good to be with you this morning. I feel like I've been in a bit of a whirlwind. This last week, I had the privilege of driving down to Florida. My grandfather, who winters in down there, he's a snowbird living about half of his time up in Michigan. He always says that he lives one more day in Michigan than he does in Florida because he's a Michigander and he doesn't want to give that up on his license. He doesn't want to give that up in his identity. But we drove down to Florida, and on the way, we stopped at some historic sites that are significant to my family. We started in Michigan last Monday and began driving down as thousands and thousands of people create this great migration, right, to the south. I found myself counted in great company of many folks who wanted to escape that blessed substance that greeted you all this morning in your driveways. You are a hearty bunch. I can tell you that as we were driving south, we stopped at two places that were significant to me. We stopped at the Civil War battlefield of Chickamauga. If you're familiar with that, it was one of the significant Civil War battles that took place in the South, and it was there, standing on a hill, that my great-great-grandfather was captured by Confederate forces, and then he was shipped off to the Andersonville prison, which, if you've ever been there, it's in the middle of essentially nowhere in Georgia. All that's there is a small creek that goes through a massive open field that was cleared by slave labor back in the day. He was sent there as one of 45,000 Union soldiers who would be imprisoned in this particular place. And what I want you to know is this place was only designed for about 10,000 people, so they didn't have the food or the shelter necessary, so nearly 15,000 people died while they were in this camp, and my great-great-grandfather, James Potter, was imprisoned there for about 2 years before escaping this place, which about 300 people were fortunate enough to do that. He'd climbed on the top of a boxcar and then escaped from the prison as Sherman was marching towards the sea and burning the South to the ground, if you're familiar with that part of history. I promise this all is a point. This is going somewhere. They're like, gosh, we are really deep into Civil War history. Where are we going, Pastor? I promise I'll bring you back. As we were at the Andersonville prison, I thought about what it might have been like to be there. Those long nights. It's an open-air prison, so you could look up at the stars. And as I was reading the history, it said that as you walked by this prison site, you could hear the moans of agony from people who were sick or dying in the midst of their starvation or disease. People were afraid to go to the hospital because they weren't sure whether they would get the kind of treatment that they deserved as humans. I got to thinking, I wonder what the prayers of the people sounded like in that place. There was a Catholic priest who was from the South, a town just a few miles over, that came to visit the prison to offer the prisoners communion as often as he could. And before he was reassigned by his bishop, he took his entire year's salary and bought wheat for the prisoners so that they could make enough bread essentially to fight off starvation. He was from the South, so he was a Confederate by identity, and yet he decided that his calling to the ministry To feed hungry people, regardless of their history, was a higher calling than his allegiance to his particular place in time. I think about acts of sacrifice and prayer, and how prayer begins to transform the heart to allow us to do things that perhaps people around us think is unordinary or perhaps even extraordinary. In our book that we're reading through the course of this Advent season, All the Good, the author of this particular chapter encourages us to pray like Methodists. I got to wondering, what exactly does that mean these days? At the time, Methodists were known because they prayed frequently and fervently. They prayed often. They prayed oftentimes using the entirety of their body. They were charismatic. They were passionate. They were energetic. They were oftentimes engaged in this act of prayer regularly and routinely. Our spiritual ancestors were engaged in prayer with their whole body, mind, and spirit. I thank God for our Wesleyan heritage in this way. I don't know what your prayer practices might look like. Perhaps you pause to pray before a meal. Maybe you say thank you to God as your day ends and the sun sets. But as we were reading in the chapter of this book, prayer is one of the ways in which we are connected with God. It's one of the ways that God begins to enter into our bodies, our minds, our spirits, into our hearts. Prayer is one of the ways that we are transformed by God's sanctifying grace. It changes us. Sometimes folks imagine that prayer is a way of petitioning or informing God what might be going on in the world. Well, I'm pretty sure that God already knows. God can see all. God knows all. God's all-powerful. God's capable of transforming any issue that might be going on in our lives. But prayer is one of the ways. It's one of many ways that we are also changed by God's grace. It transforms us and makes us better. John Wesley said, we're on this road to perfection through this sanctifying grace. One of my practices of prayer, I may have told you this before, but one of them is every single day as I pull into the church parking lot, I find myself praying, God, show me the one person that I am supposed to talk to today. Every once in a while, we can get busy, and this is a season where that is especially true. Who has a list of things to accomplish by day's end today? Anybody with me? Yes, you're not alone. And yet in the midst of that busyness and that time of preparation and anticipation, I always ask God, will you show me the one person that I am supposed to connect with today? Don't let me be too busy. Don't let me be too engaged that I have like those horse blinders to not see the person that God is asking me to interact with today. I find myself praying for peace a lot. I grieve global violence and the ways in which the ongoing suffering of war causes starvation and disease and the overcrowding of prisons and the dehumanizing of others. I grieve the reality of human suffering all around the world. I find myself engaging in prayer routinely for places where peace is a stranger. I feel so fortunate, as Tom mentioned, to live in a place where combat and war is not on our front door as often as it may be in other parts of the world. I can't imagine what it's like to be frequently awakened by the sounds of gunshots and violence. I pray for water, mostly because we live in Michigan and we're surrounded by these beautiful Great Lakes, and every time I turn on my water spigot, I anticipate and trust that safe, clean drinking water will come out the other side. But I know that that's not true for nearly a billion people around the world. I pray for places that I've been, places like Redbird Mission, places like Liberia, places like Houston that have been torn apart by hurricanes, and I wonder how folks that I've been able to encounter over the course of my life are doing in this time. I pray for people who are near and dear to me, whose concerns have been entrusted to me. What do you pray for? I want to encourage you during this season of Advent to push yourself, perhaps to pray more frequently, perhaps to make time in the midst of your schedule to pray to God. Every once in a while, I run into somebody who I'm riding with in the vehicle, and every time they turn the key in their ignition, they offer a prayer. God, get me there safe. That's a prayer. God's always listening. Perhaps you want to take on the prayer practice of engaging in some devotion. Each and every day, you can go to the Upper Room or Our Daily Bread. There are thousands of online resources. This year, I'm working through a text written by a pastor in St. Louis. His name is Pastor Matt Miofsky. It's a Methodist book of prayer. You can find it online. I have it on my phone. The beautiful thing about Amazon Kindle is I can take these resources with me everywhere that I go. It's a beautiful book that encourages you to pray daily, and I'm learning so much from Matt's words. Our author, who is from another country, Songju Kim, she came here and she recognized that she wasn't quite sure how to pray in English, and so she was responsible for getting up in front of the congregation and leading the congregation in prayers, and she's like, whatever should I do? I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray in English, she wrote inside her book. And so she found herself reading through the hymn book and reading through the Psalms, and she just kept quoting the scriptures, and people kept coming up to her and saying, wow, Pastor, that was an incredibly powerful prayer. And she would chuckle to herself, I didn't write it. Those were God's words, not mine. Maybe that's a practice you could adopt. I wrote in my notes for today's worship service, John, preach fast. We have new members to receive. We have communion to serve, so I'm almost done, I promise. I wanted to conclude with this. The hymns are filled with wonderful prayers. Charles Wesley wrote thousands of hymns throughout the course of his life, and it was one of the ways that he kept in communion with God. It was one of the ways that he reflected on the scriptures and the stories of God. And I wanted to share with you the words to one of his hymns that's one of my favorites, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. He wrote these words as a prayer to God. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of your name. Jesus, the name that conquers and charms our fears and bids our sorrows cease, 'tis music to the sinner's ears, to life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. To God all glory, praise, and love be now and ever given by saints below and saints above, the church and earth and heaven. If you're having a hard time finding the words to pray, maybe you feel uncomfortable in the presence of God, I invite you to begin with the words of the hymns, the words of the Psalms. If you open up the Bible to the book of Psalms, those words are filled with prayers. There's prayers where David feels like ripping the cloak from his body because he's so angry about the world around him. There are prayers of asking for God's forgiveness and mercy and grace. You can pray in almost any posture. You can pray standing up. You can walk with the nature nuts of our church who are always finding new pathways. That's their name, by the way. I'm not like, you know, saying something pejorative. Yee! I'm going to get in all kinds of trouble today. You can pray while standing on the beachfront of the ocean, looking out over the beauty of God's creation. You can pray on your knees, asking for God's healing and mercy. There are some folks that I've observed over the course of my life that have found themselves even bowing before God, putting their hands and perhaps even their head on the ground in an act of submission to God's transforming grace and power. Now I'm going to trip standing up. It doesn't really matter in our time how you pray. I believe with all of my heart, though, God wants to hear your voice. As you move into this season of Advent, this is a season of preparation. I heard Pastor Lindsay wish you and all a happy new year. For those of you who were here last week, this is the beginning of the Christian calendar. And though our calendar is a little bit offset from the rest of the world's calendar, this is a season of preparation. Part of our practice of prayer during the season of Advent might be preparing your heart for the arrival of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Open your hearts. Engage in this act of prayer. Join in the great communion of all of the saints who have prayed for decades and generations before us. God wants to hear from you. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you are always here to listen to us. When we don't have words of our own, we're grateful for the hymns of our faith, for the psalms that were written by David and our spiritual ancestors, for the prayers and hymns that are recorded in the scriptures that give us voice when we don't know what to say. Thank you for the ways in which prayer transforms our lives, from the brief momentary prayers in our cars to the prayers of the prisoners at Andersonville Prison, for the prayers of the faithful across all times and generations who lifted their voices to pray. We thank you for their voices and for ours, for their hearts and for ours. We thank you, God, that you're always listening to our prayers. Amen.
I'm really appreciating this morning's worship service. I don't know about you, but this time to focus on prayer and peace, I need more of both. This morning we have two prayer quilts to pray over for Elmer and for Cece. You are invited to lift them up in your prayers. And as you leave this space, stop at the back there and tie a knot in their quilts, say a prayer, and sign their cards so that they may be wrapped and connected in our prayers. Now make yourself comfortable in a way consistent with your prayer practice. And just a heads up, today I'm doing something a little different. Instead of one long personal prayer time, I'm going to give you three short pauses that I hope will help you connect with God this morning. Let's pray. God of love and mercy, with each breath, may we breathe in your grace and let go of our worry. With each breath, may we draw closer to you and expel that which gets in our way of knowing you, loving you, and serving you. We each can name barriers, real or imagined, that seem like they stand in the way of connecting with you, God. So right now in this moment, I offer a pause for each of us to silently or quietly name what we want instead and ask for those barriers to melt and fall away. Lord of love, forgive us for the ways we stray from your path, for the ways we contribute to brokenness in your creation, in our families, and in our communities. In this brief moment, we invite you into our hearts to bring healing and guidance for a better way. Parent God, as your children, we give thanks for all the ways you care for us, love us, and teach us. We ask for your blessings today on Elmer and Cece, for their healing in body, mind, and spirit. May these quilts and our prayers help them to feel your compassionate embrace. We offer our prayers for those on our hearts who need your loving care, those in recovery, those healing from illness or other physical or emotional or spiritual needs, those facing change, disruption, or new life circumstances, those grieving the loss of loved ones. Lord, you know the needs, and we offer them now for your transformation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray too for our church and its people, for the United Methodist Church around the world. We lift up the leaders in the church and in our communities. May your love for peace, justice, and reconciliation warm their hearts and guide their feet into the way of peace. Hear us now as we share together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
come to a wonderful time in the service where we have an opportunity to welcome some new siblings in Christ into this fellowship, into this body of Christ. So for those who will be joining in membership of our church, I'm going to invite you guys to come forward if you would be able to do so. We've got a couple folks who are joining today. This is an exciting time in the life of the church. Anytime you receive new members, it's a joy. It's a celebration. And so we're going to share in these words of grace as we welcome them into this fellowship. Brothers and sisters, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and giving new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift given to us without price. Through confirmation, through the reaffirmation of faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledged what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church.
I present for membership, as they reaffirm their faith, Evelyn Longsworth and Rob and Katie McKay, who are accompanied by their kids, Colin and Lucy.
And so we have these questions for you as we move into this time of joining the church. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do. Amen. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in this world? If so, say, I will.
I will. Amen.
And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? If so, respond with us all together.
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us all gathered here join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. My friends, do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Amen. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Will you join me in the congregational response? We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. Friends, I introduce you to these new siblings in Christ. Will you welcome them by joining and applauding them into this congregation? What an exciting time to receive members into this body of Christ. And I think about the communion that Catholic priest served to the prisoners of Andersonville Prison. I think about the communion that people receive all around the world. I think about the fact that on that night, thousands of years ago, Jesus gathered around a table of friends, people who had been in the presence of Jesus over the life of his Christian ministry here on this earth. And I think about their prayers that evening. This liturgy that we share around the communion table is also a prayer. It's an opportunity for us to come into contact with the one who created us and calls us and knows us by name. And so we gather around this table, remembering that night that Jesus gathered with his disciples over a table just like this, and we give thanks for Christ's offering on our behalf. We remember that on that night he took a loaf of bread, he lifted it before the disciples, and he said, "Take and eat this as often as you can in remembrance of me. This is my body which has been broken for you." And as the supper ended, he took a cup and he lifted it before the disciples, and he said, "This is my blood which has been poured out for you. Take it and drink it as often as you gather in my name in remembrance of me." And so we gather around this table of grace, not as people who are perfect, but as people who are on the road to perfection. People who are being transformed by God's Spirit, people who are being renewed in body, mind, and spirit through our prayers, through our presence, through our gifts, through our service, through our witness. We are transformed at this table of grace. So we say, "Come, Holy Spirit, transform these elements of bread and cup and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might remember Christ's life and ministry among us." Equally important, O God, transform us. Allow us to be a little bit more like Jesus Christ each and every day through one small change after another. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we prepare to receive these elements of grace, I want to let you know that this is an open table. Everybody is welcome to receive these elements of grace. You don't have to be a member of this or any other church to come forward to receive these elements. All you have to have is a desire to know God personally. I also wanted to let you know that a couple of months ago, we purchased these glass communion cups. And so as you return them to your table, I invite you to put them gently inside these baskets as you go by. That's not part of the liturgy, but I just wanted to add that in. If you drop them in, we might be all surprised by the shattering of that glass. We reuse these cups. We wash them each and every month, which is one of those ways that we are blessed by folks who share their gifts with the church, so that we don't have to throw away the plastic each and every month. All has been made ready. We invite you to come by these diagonal aisles and receive the bread and the cup. All has been made ready. Will you please come and feast at God's heavenly banquet? Amen. Would all those who are assisting in the distribution of the elements please come forward to assist us at this time? Thank you.
As we prepare ourselves for our offering time, may I ask the ushers to come forward. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we certainly give because we want to express our worship and our thankfulness to our faithful and generous God. We give because we recognize His unending provision. We give because we declare God's abundance and grace. We give because this is what our faith responds to God's call for stewardship. And we give because God first gave the best gift to us, and that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Emmanuel, God with us, as we prepare to celebrate your coming, we bring our gifts of time, talent, and treasure to the ministry of this church. Bless these offerings and use them to spread the message of peace you offer. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, as we close this worship service, I want to invite Greg Kushner to come forward, and I'll invite you guys to take a seat for just a couple of moments. We have one closing special announcement I want to share with you. If you remember, during the season of Advent, we've been encouraging people to engage in one small mission project after worship to try to engage everybody in the congregation in some form of mission or another. Today, we have an opportunity to write a letter to two individuals who our congregation has adopted. They're folks who were incarcerated as juveniles and have been serving those sentences. And I want to invite Greg to share for just a moment about what this ministry is all about.
Pretty much it.
Yes. Thank you.
That was short and sweet, but just by a show of hands, how many in this congregation have seen the movie The Shawshank Redemption? Yeah, I figured that. Great movie. There's a scene in that movie between Andy Dufresne, who was sent there wrongly, accused of killing his wife, and he was sent there for life as an adult. But then there was Morgan Freeman, Red. And they were in the courtyard, the prison courtyard one day, and they were kind of going back, you know, about their life, you know, what, how did they wind up where they are. And Andy asked Morgan at one point, Red, he said, if you could go back in time, what would you say to yourself when you were a kid that got you here? And Andy said something to the effect that, I really wish I could just shake him and talk to that stupid kid. Don't do it. And that kind of sums it up. These are kids that we're talking about. They're the two individuals that our church has decided to support, Mike and Johnny, were 17 at the time of their incarceration. And we all know 17, you don't think properly at 17. Lord knows I did some pretty stupid stuff. Not that bad, but, you know, pretty stupid. So the bottom line is this is a program in support of individuals that were incarcerated at a young age, 17 or less. Right now in the state of Michigan, there's roughly 376 juvenile lifers incarcerated. Our two gentlemen, one is in Lapeer, one is in Jackson. So basically, without going through a lot of detail here, because there's a lot of detail, the bottom line is we agreed as a church to do a couple of things. And one is to write a letter each month to one of the incarcerated, to either Mike or Johnny. And also to send a note if you choose to do that. Now the program is set up. We have a, thanks to Suzette, that's how I mean, yeah, whatever, set up a nice sign of genius. Thank you. Yeah, age, right? Set up a nice sign of genius where you can go in and pull that program up, and you can pick a month, pick an inmate, pick either Mike or pick Johnny, write them a short note, send them a paperback book. Without going into how you do all that, let me just say that in the back of the room by the coats, there's a long table set up, and you will find a fact sheet on what this is all about. You will find a how-to do the sign of genius. Yeah, you will find information on both inmates, Mike and Johnny. And also, since it's Christmas, as a mission team, we thought it would be a great idea, and it's encouraged by the program, to write them a short note. So in that regard, there's stationery there, Christmas-type stationery. There's self-addressed envelopes. There's stamps. So all I'm asking you to do is take a minute. There's pens also. Take a minute, write a short note, stuff it in the envelope, put a stamp on it. You don't even have to take it home. I can mail them. So that's about it.
And thank you so much, Greg. Appreciate your ministry. To close this morning's worship service, I would simply add that this is an opportunity for us to pray for folks who may be struggling in our midst, for folks who might be serving out these lifetime sentences, for folks who might be looking for a small source of hope. To be remembered, to be known, to be thought of is such a gift when you're spending time, perhaps all of your time, behind bars. So as you depart from this place, may you fill your hearts with prayer. May you have the opportunity to commune with the loving God who knows you by name. As you depart from this place, may you know that God is listening to your prayers, that God knows the entire parts, all the depths of your heart. May the prayers that you offer transform you and the world this day. Let us go out with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.